way on back east, order for the Indians, and he sends them free of charge. Yeah. Oh, they make me sick when they hurt him. I can cut that bald man's head off. And so, you know, when you see those things, you know, you have to believe it. Of course, I know my poor woman there, she don't want to say anything for fear that it's going to be different and all this and that.
Well, I believe it, Andy.
Yeah.
I've seen these things happen.
Yeah.
And I believe it. And I'm not being silly about it. And I've seen too much to doubt. I mean, who am I to doubt?
Yeah.
There's my own idea of religion is that God isn't out there, but because I wouldn't be able to say where he stopped, you know, so there's no stopping place.
That's right.
For God. So he's right in here, in the room among us, Andy. I mean, you can't say that he isn't here. You can't say that he isn't, because where are you going to draw the line and say, well, God isn't?
Yeah.
Because he's everywhere. And he could be with Indians, and he can be with white people, and he can be with rocks, and he's everything.
He's just everything.
He's just everything.
He's a maker of all things.
Sure, and
why,
he is.
Why couldn't he understand it?
Why, of course.
You know what make me sick these days is they say those Indians are savages, they this and they that and that and that and that. But we might be, but we live off the land, and we didn't have to go through these big mines and all this and that to gather gold and go crazy about it. And then why didn't we have a religion which is just good as our white brothers? Why couldn't we?
Andy, I think it was better because it was closer to the pure thing. And so often nowadays, religion is real estate.
Yeah. They go for money making. Now there's over,
right.
Let's see, there's 700 different religions in the United States. And each one professed to be the true religion. Right.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. And the Indians, they were savages. They don't know our religion. They don't know anything. And then they have a hard time making inroads to baptize the Indians because the Indians had their own.
They had a good one.
Why, sure. And they believed in it. And another thing, too, they had faith where the white man would fall down in different things. And
there was no hell in the Indian religion.
Yeah.
Was there?
Yeah. Huh?
There's no hell in
no
the
hell,
Indian.
No.
No hell.
And
no.
This is you can't say that there is a good God and he's everything and say that there's a hell too. It just doesn't work
that's
out.
Right. And he's gonna punish you and kill you and all this and that. So the thing is now I wonder about these different religions and all this and that. Andy, what make you folks so far away from God? Because you don't understand, you don't understand the Bible and all this and that, you won't listen and all this and that. I know doggone well when I read that Bible and I get sick that there ain't going to make me well.
Uh-huh.
But in our own belief
and
in our own faith, we had men that we lived with that took care of that. And when their prayer is put through, it's a good prayer, which would heal a person.
Mm-hmm.
But a white man's prayer would hit that old ceiling and bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
Just about as far as
you
can. All right, so the thing is, when a person tried to reason them things out, that's something. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to tell Alistair this. When I went through those terrible operations in Arizona, I wasn't supposed to live. I had only about 36 more hours to go, and my gallbladder was all busted and went through into my system. The album was all in that blood, and they had to give me 8 cans of ether to put me away. And I was in a terrible condition. They thought I'd never come out of it. And they thought I was a drinking and smoking man and everything. And but I'm going to tell you something, believe me, that may, and I wonder about it. I remember when they wheeled me from the operation table, I was there under operation for about 4 hours on Armistice Day. They took me into that place where room I was to stay, in that big hospital. Light came on. I see those windows and I seen everything. Even though I was out, and mind you, I see things. And who did I see?
You was delirious, that was all.
Yeah, but you could say it was delirious, you could say it was a dream, you could say everything. But I say to this day that I've seen it. I've seen a great master come through dimensions in that hospital. Through at the foot of my bed. I know just exactly like he looked, as he looked. And there's no pictures today that had a resemblance of the great master. There ain't nothing there to compare with. All right. And back of him was who? Was the old man. See? And they talk. I remember a great master looked at me like this and never said nothing. I looked at that, his face so closed, to see if there was any turning point in his face where, which would say that I was going to live or I was going to die or anything like that. But they wouldn't. But I remember her dad says, my son. You have been a good man. Me. You have loved your family and cared for them. And he says, you're going to live. And then they went right through dimensions on the other side. Just as if that wall was made out of paper. Or made out of just Alice, and I laid there for 4 days before I came to. And she was in the room I came to. And I told her afterwards what happened, and I know I was going to live.
Well, he was in that delirious stupor, you know, from the ether. That's what he, it was in his mind when he went to sleep.
Well, I don't know. I didn't have that in my mind, but why is the thing I could see it right now just
you must have, because that's not...
You see, now there it is, you see. People wouldn't believe it. They can't visualize it, you know what I mean? It's something that you can't see. I mean, you know, you can't believe it. No, but I could believe it because I've seen it, and it seemed like it was so real. And it's unfolding, you know what I mean? It wouldn't just look like looking at that dead wall there. But the thing is, now he spoke.
No.
Well, you can tell you say of everything in connection with the great spirit, but the Indian must have had something.
There's a lot more in this world than the human being can see or comprehend.
Andy. That's right.
And I believe very, very strongly that there is help when you need it. If you know how to make contact, and that's what I mean is not a spiritualist kind of making contact, but when you, deep out of your insides, call for help, there's help.
That's right.
And it because it's good and it's around us.
Why, sure.
And it is something that's there when we need it.
All right. Now you take her for instance. During the time I was working up there at Lake Tahoe, and when I worked way in Arizona, New Mexico, in that place on the Indian capital, I know when she's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be home. What makes those things, huh? All right. The white people say, oh, man, he's crazy, his head's swimming.
Oh, no.
All right. But the thing is, I'd come home and I'd find her sick. But I don't know. And I know when the boy was sick and his mother. I don't know whether it's the thing that they had left for me or something. He had left for me or something like that. I don't know. But the thing is, I see those things so close. And Bailey, I just made fun of it. He ride the fence. And he did do it, and then he didn't do it. And he, golly, made me. I like to, if Bailey was a good man, and he was a just man, he said, it is this, and told the truth about it, oh, he'd have been a wonderful man. Thing is, what I'm trying to do is to set it right, to show that man was a wondrous man and he was a good man, which he was, there's no question about it. Why? And the Great Spirit must have had a blessing for him like he gave to nobody else, but the Great Spirit had gave it to the white folks. All the way on through, Moses had it, everybody had it, all the disciples had it. But why couldn't it be with the poor American Indians? Why couldn't it be?
Why, of course it could have been, Andy.
You see?
Of course it could have been.
Yeah.
There's not a person that doesn't belong in this plan.
Uh-huh.
There's a plan.
That
and there's not one person that does not belong somehow or another in this plan. We can't see this plan.
Uh-huh.
We can't see this plan any more than we can see to the end of the stars.
That's right.
Or to the tiniest of the tiny,
uh-huh.
Andy. But
That's
we know
right.
we're part of this plan. And Indians, I don't care what, it makes no difference what color their skin is.
No.
They're part of the plan. I'm part of the plan. You're part of the plan. Everything is part of the plan. I think that there's all the great teachers are misunderstood at some time or another, and it's the ones who survive and rise above the misunderstanding, Andy. Those are the ones that are going to...
Yeah, and that's the reason. Now, I know poor Alice don't like to mention lots of these things for the fear that it would naturally make him look bad and all this and that, and all this and that, and put, take away the blessing for Danny and all that. Children that are coming up, she want to leave a nice road. But the thing is now, to set that good thing right, the truth will have to be brought out. And that's the reason I just brought these little happenings, to show that it was the truth and everything else.
But you couldn't say what Bailey said,
no,
what said about him was true.
Oh, well, no, that's what I say. He said it apart from the truth. And it takes truth, Alice, to bring that back. You know what I mean, to kill it. You can't make wrong right. Nobody can. It's once done, it's wrong, that's all. It, you take people today, they do things, they cover up and cover up and cover up, but still, it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's still wrong. The more they try to cover up, the worse it gets. But, Bailey, he's just one of those fellas that do these things for big money and all this and that, and he just writes those things knowing he knows darn well in his own heart that he's doing wrong. Oh, shucks, I don't know. It's quite a thing, and that's the reason. place in order to make it right.
I wish he were.
And make him honorable, you know, as he has right to be made honorable. I don't know how people could do these things. Of course.
Yeah, Andy, he is honorable.
Uh-huh.
Billy is, if there's anybody that's not honorable, it's Bailey. Nobody will ever change Jack Wilson. He was a great guy. But Bailey has put a very unhappy light on the whole thing because he just doesn't understand.
Right.
But you don't change Jack Wilson. Jack Wilson's great. And I think that anybody who ever came in contact with him realized his sincerity, his kindness, his desire to help people, and his ability to help people. I think he was fabulous. I'm glad I know somebody who knew him. I'm very proud of this. I think he was a fabulous man. And if he had the strength and ability to make people well, I think this is absolutely wonderful. And I believe
so
it.
Too.
I believe it. Just as strongly as I believe anything. There have been others that could do this too. I mean, all down through the line. This isn't
he's not the only one.
No,
you
he's not the
not.
Only one.
But he happened to be the goat. That's what I understand.
Right. You're right, Alice.
Well, Alice, people are writing things about Jesus. They have written things about Jesus ever since always that haven't always been true.
No, you bet not. Look at the Pope of Rome just here a month ago, where he had taken away the tinge of the Jewish killing Christ.
Yeah.
And after all, if you study that old Bible and everything else, you find out that there were a lot and lot of rightful Jews during the time of Jesus Christ.
Of course.
And it was a Sanhedrin religion at that time, where they used their part of teaching of Christianity and of the deity and all this and that in order to make money.
Yeah.
Just like it is today. We're
yes.
in the same.
Yes.
Same position. If Jesus would come today, why you'd take these communists and different religions which had go in for money, why they'd kill Jesus right that quick.
That right. And if Jesus walked the streets today.
Yeah.
He would be thought of in no different terms than what Paul Bailey presented Jack Wilson.
That's right.
They would call him all kinds of things because they just don't understand. And I wouldn't worry about it. The people that know about him and know what he did, Jack Wilson, I mean, love him.
Well, that's right.
And the worst thing in the world, the hardest thing to bear, is to be unjustly accused.
That's right.
But that is exactly what Jesus did when he stood up there
and
before the council.
That's right.
And he didn't raise a voice.
No,
he didn't raise a voice in self-defense,
but
it was the strongest defense in the world. Because he rose above it. He was bigger than all of the.
Too big, yes.
All of the, and. I think Jack was just great. I've read as much as I could find out about him, and I think he was a fabulous man. He came among his, he was among these people who are having such a hard, hard time at that time. And they were having a hard time. At that particular time, the women up at Virginia City were standing at the mines, at the doors of the mines,
yeah,
with their baskets.
That's right.
Begging for leftover bits of bread.
Yeah.
And for undrunk coffee, coffee that the men had in their cans. And they were hungry. Why, Andy, if we had men of Mars with 10 legs come in here now, we wouldn't be nearly as helpless against them as the Indians were against the whites. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand. They had never worked for each other.
No.
They worked for themselves. They had to learn. They had to learn about working. And among the Indians, every man was as good as the other. They kept them at a level, except the wise ones who were the leaders. But nobody was ever a big shot.
No. You bet not.
And
they were humble people.
They had to. This was a completely different. Completely different world that was brought in on top of them. And the people were confused and they needed a leader, and here was a man who was wise, he was serene. There's never a place in any of the records where he blew up and got mad at anything.
Gee, no. I don't think ever was an
No.
No, he was always kind to everyone.
He was a wonderful man.
He was serene above all these
yeah.
troubles, and he rose above them. And became, he was a great man.
You bet.
And I would like to tell the story of the great part of him. And I don't know that you can that you can denounce Bailey and get away with it. And I don't think it will help things. I think it'll sound like a bitter battle, and I think the thing to do is to tell the wonderful things, like this experience that you had, this head deal that where you were hurt, and I think to tell how people came to him for solid advice, and he gave it with dignity and with gentleness, and with he thought these things out, Andy.
You bet. And there's no pay, you know, for all
yeah.
the things he had done.
Yeah.
Because I don't think as anybody could, what he had done could pay. He had enough money to pay for it. Even if they had $1 billion, they couldn't do it. And he'd done it for nothing.
People brought in gifts because they loved him.
Yeah, because they loved him.
And it wasn't a pay thing. It was, they wanted...
It's something from their hearts.
Yeah, right. From what I gather, I have a newspaper clipping, Andy, of
uh-huh.
old men. I don't have the date on it, but I think it was probably about 1911. I don't know, 11 or 12. I'm going to try to search the clipping out to find the date. But old, I think it's Arapaho
uh-huh.
man
yeah.
who had come to visit him when they were young. Came with an interpreter later on just because they wanted to visit him again.
That's
just
right.
because they had visited him a long time ago and it had been good and they wanted to do it again.
That's right.
And they brought him gifts, and in exchange he gave them of the things that he had, which was the red paint and the feathers.
That's right.
And the simple things off of that were available to him. They didn't have to be fancy things.
And herbs.
And herbs.
And that Indian tobacco. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, a poor fella. I sure liked him.
Oh, he was great.
You take those Arapahoes and everybody, those Cheyennes, by God, they really loved him.
Well, they certainly came from far to... They came a long, long distance, Andy, to
you bet they had.
To see him, and it's the instinct, Andy,
yeah.
to when you care for somebody, to bring gifts.
Yeah.
You always did this. And that's what they did with him.
It's so wonderful, I tell you. And he give them good teachings and everything, just like Alice's, those Grouse Banter Indians, the time when they started that peyote.
Yeah.
It is the white folks that start that.
Uh-huh.
They made beautiful teepees. Oh, the most beautiful thing you ever see with paintings. Oh, it was just out of this world. But they started that religious sect. Among them, they use that peyote, you know, and they go into that dreamland and all that stuff and all this. So they were starting at that time, and just like she says, them Grouse Banter Indians came up from up there in Wyoming. They come on down to see him. Where did he get that wisdom? He didn't know what peyote was,
mm-hmm.
any more than anything. And that fella handed to me, looked at it, and he told, no, he said, don't use that. That is no good for your people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, make your mind drift away and all this and that, and all, you get into something not good for you. Get into habit, you won't do you no good. Where did he get the wisdom and understanding to know that was no good? All right. But it's something. He says, opium is no good. Why, gosh, I tell you, that man, he had it. And so he must have had some guiding spirit in order to do them things, you know what I mean? And now they started it among the Indians up there. Poor fellas can't break away from it.
Mm-hmm.
They started it here for a little while, and they had these people walking around here like coyotes, on with their hands and two legs.
Hmm.
Sure. And but he guided these people, told what they had to do and what to do. Be honorable and all this and that. Them are the things. I think if white folks would have more men like him, and instead of be preaching for money and all this and that,
yeah.
and go closer to God with their faith and gain the same I don't like that word power, to do these things.
For wisdom.
Wisdom. And knowing how to do these things and all this and that, I think our country would be better off. And today our young ones are killing their mothers and their fathers, and they're doing everything, getting by with it, tearing up the draft cards and all this and that, and doing everything. And our colored people are taking over and all this, and the young ones are doing this and they can't. Why, if they had a man like the Indians had, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I think it'd do the world more good, instead of be working these religion for money. Now you take our preachers today, they got fine homes and like, oh, my car is not good, I need another one. They get a big Cadillac or something else like that. Why? You know, they work and they get about $300 and $400 a month. And they preach only an hour on Sunday, maybe hour at night, 2 hours, two times. See?
Mm-hmm.
Four is eight. Work 8 hours a month. Otherwise, $200 for every hour they had preached. Well, poor Jack, when he talked to his people about these things, he didn't charge him a penny for his healing and for his herbs and all of this. It was all free of charge. I remember he used to have to go and get his own wood, and he'd chop his own wood, haul it in, and all this and that. And he'd go to work and to buy food for his family.
Pitch
and
hay.
He'd work hard, you bet.
The pitched hay.
He pitched hay, believe me. And he was getting... was supposed to be one of the top men, old as he was, and he was making about $4 a day.
$4? Nothing. Dollar and a half.
Dollar, dollar and a half or $2 for building a stack.
Dollar and a half for stackers.
Yeah.
And then a dollar a day for the other people that pitch hay and
pitch
put
hay.
It on the wagon. Yeah.
So you see, and out of that little meager earn, he supported his family. Of course, the Alice's mother had to go and wash clothes and work too, and they worked together. They were just like.
And then my mother raised 13 children.
That sure
that
right.
is not her children.
Others.
Other children that motherless, that their mother had died, my mother picked up.
That's
now
right.
That M's mother, see, their mother got killed. The horse ran away and killed both of them somewhere. That's the way I was told.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened. But anyway, Emma and Willie, we call him, my mother went and picked them up and raised them as her own.
They didn't have no welfare them days.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So her and Jack
hard.
Took care of them.
They took care of them, and then
raised
of course,
them.
When they grew up, mother raised them. And they Emma took care of my sister's children while they were coming, and then when she got a little older, she got married and she had children of her own, and then Woody stay with us.
Yeah.
And I always call him Uncle Woody. And when I was a little girl, they'd say, even in the wintertime, if I hear somebody hollering, coming, you know, from town or somewhere, they would just holler just to hear what I would say in Indian. And then ask Mother if I was awake during that time. They'd holler outside, you know. And then they would say, I would say, listen, I'd say to my mother, listen. Uncle Willie is coming with a big watermelon, I would say.
Even in wintertime.
In wintertime. Uncle Willie is coming home with a big watermelon.
Some of the things, you know, the way they live, it was beautiful, I tell you.
And then there's somebody else's mother died. And then she raised three of my sister's children, and Emma and Willie was... five, and there's Henry and Jess and James.
The Burbanks.
The Burbanks. She took them, and Dad and Mother raised them as their, you know, own. They take care of them, and kids
sure.
work, you know, and bring in wood and all of that stuff. But it was hard kicking for my mother and Dad to feed all those.
That's right, they were so good and great, I tell you. It.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, they don't know.
Where were you living then, Alice?
Smith Valley.
Smith Valley
Smith
and Mason.
Valley.
Around, we were living, of course, when I was born at Day's Ranch in Smith Valley,
yeah.
near Colony.
Yeah.
And the biggest ranch they had
yeah.
there was Day's Ranch.
Yeah.
That's what I, well, that's where I was born. That's where all of this happening were, that my mother raised all of these kids, and they worked hard, both of them.
And I moved to Nordyke, and from Nordyke into
Mason.
Uh-huh. There's a little house at Nordyke left,
right.
isn't there? That
was a cellar, ain't it, Alice?
No, there's nothing left. We live on that side there, and we lived on that side of the Nordyke, on that, the south side. And there's used to be a big orchard there, and then we live on that side there, on a little ravine, like on top of the hill. And that's where we were raised, right there.
At Nordyke?
Uh-huh. And the people, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Wilson and Billy Wilson and them, Dad work in the mill.
Used to take care of flour.
Flour and sack
everything.
The flowers.
Oh, a flour mill.
Uh-huh, flour mill.
Oh.
And they used to, my dad would sack the flour and... the barley, not barley, but bran, and then he used to count all the wheat that come in. He knew everybody in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd say, so-and-so bring 14 or 15 sacks of wheat. And he'd have it in his mind.
Yeah.
And then he would tell Billy Wilson, and then he'd put it down on the paper.
I see.
And then he
how
would
many,
say, well, and then
how
he,
many had given for that wheat, and what
and
he
then,
had given for that wheat?
Yeah, and then he would say, well, so-and-so brought so much wheat, and then Billy would put it down, and then
And then how much bran?
And then just how many sacks of flour he had sacked that day.
Huh.
And he had it in his mind. He never had a day of school.
Yeah.
But he knew how to count.
Yeah.
And he told Billy, and then Billy would write it down. That's
uh-huh.
the way he made his living, right there. My mother would work for Billy Wilson's wife, and she would next day work for Mrs. Joe Wilson's wife. And it was back and forth like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we lived, on the other side there.
Is that the west side of the, what's now the highway, Alice?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the west side.
Uh-huh.
West. This side would be east.
Mm-hmm.
That's west.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm not. Well, as you're going to Wilson Canyon, it's that side
mm-hmm.
there.
Alice, one of the stories that I've heard that I was going to ask you. Did you have a brother, probably that would have been born earlier than you? I mean, would have been one of the older children. Who fell under a wagon and was killed, a little boy?
I don't remember, I don't know.
They never said.
They never say. But mm-hmm. my little brother, him and I are the two different kind, and he died. He was about 6 years old when he died, my little brother.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but was that from a wagon?
No, he just died of, he just took sick and died, that was all.
Uh-huh.
Nice little boy.
Uh-huh.
He looked something like Harley. He had brown hair,
uh-huh.
and him and I was.
He was younger than you.
He was younger than me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess maybe this other one might have been older than Alice.
Well, I didn't know.
Alice
I didn't
wouldn't know.
Be could
yeah.
have could have happened. I don't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
But you see, I don't know. I was so young at that time. I don't know very much, but I know that. Hazel's mother, well, his mother, the wagon ran away, they said, and then something happened to him, and they were instantly killed, the two, husband and wife.
I wonder if this story that I heard was a mixed up,
could
contorted
be.
Story.
Yeah, it could
yeah.
be. They could have made
that.
And then my mother,
yeah.
and my mother took them.
Yeah.
Took Willie and Emma. Willie was the oldest. And
is that teacher's mother?
Mrs. M's mother.
Yeah.
That fella at teacher at Fernley.
Yeah.
He's a teacher out there. Warren. That's
Warren
his mother. Uh huh.
It was his
mother that my mother raised.
Mm-hmm. I see. Uh-huh.
And my mother fed her and clothed her and everything.
Uh-huh.
And she stayed with mother until she got married. And then Willie keep on living with us, and I always call him Uncle Woohoody.
Uh-huh.
Woohoody is
yeah.
Willie
in
Indian.
Yeah.
And then whenever they want to, I don't know why they love me so much, I guess or something, and they always say, we'll holler out in the front of the house, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then if I'm awake, well, I'd hear it, and then I'd tell my mother like this, said, listen, I hear Uncle Willie coming. With watermelon. Even if it was winter time, she says, I would say, listen. She says, that's Uncle Willie coming. Woody is coming with watermelon.
See, Willie would come, you know, and, on account of her and everything this summer and bring watermelon.
Yeah.
And I would think even
that,
winter time,
that,
it was
really
all. He'd laugh, you know, when I came back from Arizona. I went to Yarrington and I saw them there. Him and Emma was walking down the street, and I said, Emma, and then they both grabbed me and they said, my poor little sister. They call me their sister, you know. And they grabbed me, and a few years after that, they both died.
Yeah.
Willie went first, and then Emma last. And they always call me. Potsinu means rabbit kidney. If they were eating rabbit, I'd crawl all over everybody and ask for this kidney. That was my specialty. No, they just let me do anything, I guess, because there were so many of us, you
yeah.
know. They'd be eating, and I was the littlest. My brother and I was the smallest in the family. So whatever we ask, we got. Mm-hmm. And then Aunt Tathikuma, Anna Wasson, took me away from my mother when I was 15 months old. She raised me right up here.
Oh, well, I heard that somebody said that for a while you were not, you didn't stay with your mother.
No, I didn't stay with my mother. I stayed with my aunt right up here by the graveyard, beyond the graveyard.
Oh, I see.
And then she used to take me down here, and Bob Dyer used to hold me and carry me around and tell everybody that I was his daughter.
Oh.
But he just said that, you know. And we'd sit down. There used to be a big platform there in front of his door, was facing this side, was facing the track. And Indians would sit along this,
mm-hmm.
and people would go down the, that's when the train stopped, well, people would get out and walk around. And
that is when Goldfield
started.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little teeny weeny girl then. So then, I don't remember very much of it, but they used to give me nickels and they'd give me their lunch and like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I look so pitiful that they give me lunch.
Well, you know what I heard about this story? This is, I can't remember who told me, was that I thought an aunt or, it was an old lady, I couldn't remember who, that you lived with her and that she dressed you like a little grown up, a little old lady.
Could be.
And that you looked so cute that everybody thought how cute. And that was why I heard about.
Well, could be, you know. I didn't know how I was dressed, only that my Aunt Tazikama used to make clothes for me, and more likely she did dress me like
just
a little
old
lady.
Just like yourself, yeah.
Just a little
old. That's probably why you were so attractive.
Yeah,
people.
I guess so, and I guess I was a pitiful looking little thing, I guess, because my mother said I was so tiny and so little, underfed, because I was a
7 month
baby.
Oh, I see.
And if it wasn't for this woman my mother was working for, see, it was the 3rd of July, and she was expecting a big company and people coming from San Francisco, and she moved some bedsteads from downstairs upstairs and bring the others downstairs, and she overdid herself, and then she told, on 4th of July morning, 2 o'clock, well, I was born, my mother couldn't show up to work or to help her, so she sent down a man to see if my mother was all right, and then mother told him that we had a little baby girl and we don't know whether she's going to live or not. She's only 7 month baby, and of course she came down and then took me over to her house. And I stayed with her, my mother said, for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And they raised me on cow's milk.
Oh, I see.
And now I just hate cow's milk.
You do.
I don't like them. Mm-hmm. And that's how it happened, that I was only 7 month baby. But, well, I guess if it was 8 months, I guess I'd have been dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was 7 months that I...
Uh-huh. Were the two ladies living together who you stayed with, your aunt and...
Yeah, two old...
Yeah.
One was an old maid and the other one was married to Johnny Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I was the only baby there. Mrs. Johnny Jones didn't have any children. And Aunt Tazikama just adopted me.
Uh-huh.
And she raised me until I was was able to go to school. But she said she didn't have enough money to buy my clothes so I could go to school, so she brought me back to my mother.
Uh-huh.
And then my mother was living in Nordyke, and then they moved to Mason, and then mother worked there for some lady owned that Mason Hotel.
Oh yeah.
She worked there, and then we went. Then I went to school in the public school there.
Oh you did, right?
Yeah, I went to public school there, and then from there. My niece didn't want to go to school, so she said, well, then she got a cousin down here, her name was Mary Mason. He says, you go faster if you go to an Indian school. So we decided we'll go to Stewart,
uh-huh.
and that's how we went there, 1913.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we.
You're just a little bit older than I am, aren't you?
I guess so.
I was born in 1908.
Well, my mother said I was born 1902, so I'm a little older than
just
you
a
are.
Bit, okay.
A few years.
Yeah, well, not a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how old was Sonny when Jack Wilson died?
Who?
How old was Sonny when Jack Wilson died?
I don't remember how old. He must be in his 70s, I guess.
No, how old was Jack Wilson when, I mean, how old was Sonny, your boy?
Oh,
when
my
Jack
son
Wilson,
is 24
yeah.
years old.
He was 23 when he...
He was 24 when he was, when he died in China.
No, I mean, when Jack Wilson died, was he 4 or 5 years old or something?
Oh, yes, uh-huh, yes.
About?
Oh, he was about... Oh, about that, about 6 years old, I guess,
uh-huh.
or something like that.
So he had a chance to know him a little bit, too,
oh, yes.
then.
That's why he always says, Grandpa, say fish. Fish.
Uh-huh.
Can't say
yeah.
fish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. He was just a little boy, about so big.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he... Yes, I remember. But he was never... Never mean to anyone. He always just has kind word for everybody. And I don't see how, if he was living and if I read that story to him that Paul Bailey wrote, I think he would have just died.
Well,
die of shame, you know, thinking that he never did those things and I don't know what he would do. But I think the Pearl, Paul Bailey is, I think he's the lowest type of white man to run down a poor old, oh, of course he just thinks that it's, oh, they're just Indians and that's all,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the way some people
yeah.
think and they act it too, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, sure they do.
I don't know. But I says we're human beings just like anybody else,
yeah.
Indians. Of course, the Indians in the Montana and, I mean, the Sioux suffered more than we did, the Nevada Indians, all along the line,
yeah.
you know, they suffered more. They kill them and do everything to them and lie about them and so on. And of course, I guess this was the last stand they made and made all of these terrible things, lies about my dad. He wasn't anything extra, like anybody else. He just used his common sense. That was all.
Well, isn't that being extra?
Yeah. even then, you see, it, a lot of people, you know, well, they think, I don't know, like Paul Bailey said, he went out and have somebody shot at him, and he wore a bulletproof vest. Well, how does Indian know anything about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Indian don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then salting the mine with gold, where would he get the gold to salt the mine
mm-hmm.
with? Well, gosh, that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, his book is just...
I fed your chickens.
Out of whack, that's all.
I fed your chickens and put them away.
But of course, it's gonna, it makes it real bad, you know, for us. Maybe the government will take his word more than others. And maybe they might say that Jack Wilson was a bad man.
Oh, I don't think there's any chance ever of that happening, Alice.
Well,
I don't think
I
that there's
not,
ever a chance of that happening.
But
because
and then it says that Dad took these people to Sacramento and up in Oregon and to give them work, you know, take them down
yeah.
there to work. And then he collected tithe from them. That's what it says. And Dad never had done that. The only person that did that was Johnson's side. He's
uh-huh.
the one that used to take the Indians to Sacramento and
mm-hmm.
and up Oregon. And then he said something about that he joined the Quakers or, no, Shakers or
Shaker.
Something.
The Shaker.
And Dad
He didn't know anything about
the
sacred
never
religion.
Believed, well, he believed there was a supreme being,
sure.
But he never went toward this church or that church,
yeah.
Or any other church.
And he said
he had his own belief.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the Mormons
were closer.
He said that he must have heard about the Mormon religion or something.
Oh, something like that. That's
because his teachings were so close to the Mormons.
Yeah, that's what Paul Bailey said,
mm-hmm.
in that book. Oh, it was just, honestly, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
To me, it was, oh, I could have just sold that book, but of course there's millions of books out. And he sold them either $10 or $5 a piece.
$10
a piece, mm-hmm. I think, because that's what we paid for ours.
Mm-hmm.
$10 a book, little red
yeah,
book about.
I read it, but it's been so long ago that I'm vague about it. I mean, I tossed it aside as thinking,
yeah.
Oh, there's another one of those.
Crazy.
Another one of these things. Alice, this has happened to every great man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but
there's been somebody who's wanted to write something just
yeah.
to be writing,
mm-hmm.
and the great men rise above it. I hate to see you so unhappy. I think you're justified in being unhappy, but I think that he's hurting you when you shouldn't be hurt, and if you can believe that. People don't take this seriously.
But it's they're reading it in schools. I know
yeah.
one of the boys, Oscar's boy, asked me the other day, and it was embarrassing to answer those questions he asked.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it in school over there in Hawthorne, and he says he's been reading it, and
yeah.
He asked me about it, and I said, well, I guess Paul Bailey is satisfied that he wrote that kind of story about my father. That's what
yeah.
I said. It's kind of very, very embarrassing. You just, to me, it is, and I just feel like run and hide.
Well, don't feel like that. Alice, don't hide from it.
Oh, I wouldn't hide, but
you know
it
what
just
I mean.
Make you feel
yes,
that
but,
way.
But don't feel that way, because if he were my father, believe me, I would stand out and I just beat my chest. I'd be so proud. And
well,
so,
I do.
And
but you know,
every great man has somebody that has to write things. Even after the president's speeches, if you'll notice, somebody has to come along and make some comments that are supposed to be brighter than
yeah,
the president's speeches.
Yeah, I know that.
And they're supposed to know, they speak as if they know more about what it's all about than...
Yeah, that's very true.
And
but
every one of these,
but
I don't know
you still, you know, they had mixed him up with this big South Dakota deal, you know, where...
Yeah.
Yeah. Custer was killed,
and that's what
Paul Bailey said, that my boy had paid for that.
Yeah, well, that's that very, very crude wording.
Andy was, he asked about it, and then Andy told him, I guess, I know I didn't, and I didn't ask him. I know one of the ladies, Mrs. Bonham, said, you give him a permission to write that. And I didn't.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to get that thing out and read it again.
That really hurts. And she came right out. He says, you had given him a permission to write it. And I says, I didn't.
Yeah.
I told her right out. I says, I didn't.
Yeah.
And I says, if I had given him permission to write it, well, I would ask for some of the money that he sold it
yeah.
for.
Oh,
I told
for the
him.
For the copy of
yeah, or I ask
it.
Him for, or I would ask him to let me read
it
before it's gone into
yeah.
the public hand. That's what
yeah.
I told her. But she said, you told him that you give him permission, and I didn't.
Well, I knew that you hadn't, because I knew that you weren't wanting to discuss it
yeah.
at that time at all.
If I did, I would ask him to let me read it first
yeah.
before the copy went
yeah.
out into
yeah.
public.
Yeah.
But he just went right ahead, didn't
yeah.
even say, oh, I guess he thought I was a just dirty old Indian.
Yeah.
And it really hurt deep. And I told Andy, if that man ever come around me to say anything, I think I'll just pull his eye out. But I know I wouldn't do it, but still, I feel that way. I feel that mean toward that man.
Well, it was a...
That was a dirty,
a
dirty trick. I've read another book of his, and the name of the book is Wakawa, and he's an Indian man from Idaho or
something. I thought it was supposed to be great.
And he
great
was supposed to be
a
big man, too. And, oh, he run him down like, just like he did run down my dad.
Alice, tell me some more of the real fine, gentle things that this man did. You must know him. He, you saw him do things other than the peyote of kindness and...
Oh, he's always kind to everyone. My dad was kind. And if you come to his house...
You'll have to eat.
And if
yeah.
you come to his house, he would say, we don't have much, but if you want to eat what we've got, you're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah.
That's what he always says. And he's always kind to everybody. I've never seen that man mad, say... or a kind, unkind word to anybody. He's always as kind to everybody. And then people from all over would come and they'd talk to him and they'd ask him for advice.
Were you sitting around, did you see this happen?
What?
When they came from real far?
Yeah.
I mean, well, this is fabulous because, were you living in a Taibo type house then?
Well, we had a little cabin.
Little cabin.
And it had floor on it.
Uh-huh.
Then we had a little kitchen and we had a big room, open near big as this room.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a little kitchen in there.
Uh-huh.
That's where we eat and cook.
Uh-huh.
But this is where we had sleeping quarters here.
Yeah.
And we stayed in this room and there's a big stove in there. That's the way we lived. We didn't have anything. We were poor.
Sure.
Poor.
Well, then. So here these people were coming far and wide
yeah.
to this poor,
poor little old cabin.
Just like
yeah.
other Indians
yeah,
were living in.
Yeah, just like
in.
Anybody else and any other Indian.
Well, Alice, then would they all sit around the table and visit?
Yeah, we had benches and we sit around and talk.
And they would talk.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
just wrong.
And
we had little old benches that
problems.
I guess Dad built and we had... And then we had a little table in our kitchen. We'd all eat in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we lived. We wasn't just like any other Indians.
Yeah.
You've been to a home of Indians, like ours here.
Yes, and homes of white people, homes of Indians, and I love
yeah.
these Indian homes. There's nothing. They're plain. They don't try to outdo the other
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, that's it. Just as plain as anybody.
Often they're the things that some. The houses have things in them that other people didn't want anymore,
yeah,
but were
they
still useful. And
useful, and they give it to them, and they make use out
that's
of
right.
it. That's the way it was in our home. We didn't have very much. We didn't have hardly anything. We just lived from day to day. Of course, Dad had, when he worked, he always saved his money for winter, and that's when he buy a little extra, you know, like canned food. He liked canned peaches, and he always buy peaches.
Oh.
And Mama would dry a lot of fruit, like somebody would give her apples. Mrs. Shirani was quite, my mother used to wash for her and help her out. And then she'd give her some fruit, like peaches, plums,
uh-huh.
and then she'd take it home and dry it for winter.
The Indians were great for drying
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, she would dry everything. She would even dry fish.
Yeah.
And she worked for Mrs. Zicks. she was a Strassnider, Mrs. Zix was.
Yeah.
She worked for her, and Mr. Zix used to bring her liver and the head, and my mother would always make
head cheese?
Strips of meat out of the cheek.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
She would cut it in small pieces, and she would dry it.
Yeah.
Then she would hang it up, and then if we go pine at Ingwell, she had meat.
Uh-huh.
And she would bring, he would bring the tripe, the whole thing, and then
uh-huh.
we'd go down the river and wash it. And we didn't have, and what little few dollars mother earned and few dollar what dad earned, well, they saved that for winter use where they can't work.
I see.
That's the way we lived. We didn't live like some people. Our Sunday dresses,
uh-huh.
and she always kept it clean.
Uh-huh.
My mother was very clean.
Yeah.
I could say that much
yeah.
for her. And we was always dressed nice, even if it was gingham or what do they call this percale? They
yeah.
were 5 cents a yard.
Yeah.
We always dressed like little old dolls, I guess. But well, that's the way she dressed us.
Yeah. A lot of
we had always had plenty to eat. If we had fried potato, if that's all we had, there was plenty of it.
Yeah.
We ate plenty of it. And if we had eggs, well, she never cooked one egg or two eggs to a person. Well, she would maybe break she'd fresh fry potato, she had a big pan like I have. She'd fill that up with fried potatoes. And she'd fry it, and then she would beat up two or three eggs, and then she'd mix it with this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's the way we eat our eggs.
Uh-huh.
Every one of us have eggs, a kind of
here's a letter that you didn't know Ferguson used to be the insurance agent at Sparks?
Here they come now, Andy. Here they come.
Read that.
Oh, yeah.
That's on.
Some of the classic music are nice, but I don't care for some of them at all.
Thank you. Favorite songs, and I really like the way our boys played them. These next pictures will prove why Charitol helps you feel stronger if you're tired because of iron poor blood.